Good afternoon, everyone. I know it's warm out here, and but we all know this is what we expect this time of year, and especially in this afternoon class, but hopefully this subject, being as interesting as it is, we can keep our minds focused on it. The book of Daniel is a good example of something very interesting. As we've seen, these first three chapters we have already discussed. In chapter 4, the events spoken of would have taken place a lot later in Nebuchadnezzar's reign than those of chapters 2 and 3. We find that the first three verses really belong at the end of this chapter 4, as they seem to be a prologue to the royal narration that follows. We see that all the huge building projects that Nebuchadnezzar had undertaken would now be completed, that he is well established in his power. And we also see the experiences that he faces bring him to the realization that it is not he that is in control of all things, but God. We start in verse 3. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all his dominion is from generation to generation. These are two fundamental truths that were made clear to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream. The earth will be inhabited, and God's kingdom will last forever. When we look around at the so-called Christian world today, we find that most do not believe this. Verse 4 sets the scene where we see his state of mind when he had the dream. We read, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace." In short, he was content with his life and ways and is now more secure in his reign. He ruled over all the inhabited earth. His military campaigns that he conducted in Syria, Phoenicia, Arabia, Egypt, and elsewhere were completed. From the natural standpoint, he was the greatest ruler the world had ever seen. This picture of himself shows us that there was a considerable amount of time between the vision in chapter 2 of the image, which he had obviously forgotten the interpretation of, and this dream of the tree in chapter 4. Let's look at verse 5. He says he saw a dream which made him afraid. Now, when you think of this, you might ask yourself, why would he be afraid? After all, he was the ruler over the world. Well, it might have been because of the nature of the dream. It probably caused him to stop and consider previous incidents of what had happened to him. He, as a ruler, would rather not admit this, but he is probably beginning to realize that this dream could be a message from the one and only God who is in charge of all affairs. This message concerned him as he considered the effects it would have on him and his kingdom. So Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree or a decision to bring in the wise men of Babylon to consider the dream. Unlike the first one, where he didn't give any information to the wise men about the dream, this time he gives them all the details. We see Daniel is not brought in at first, even though he is considered the master of the magicians. Why? Most likely because Nebuchadnezzar thought this dream would easily be interpreted. It could also be from God, that in that God would be glorified through Daniel when he was called to explain the dream. It would show that something more than mere human intellect would be needed to show the meaning of the dream. Daniel would pray to God to help him understand it. We see in verse 8, Nebuchadnezzar calls in Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar's pagan gods played a role in his belief system, and he wanted to honor his gods above the God of heaven. That's why he changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, and he says, "According to the name of my God." This is the mind of the flesh in the natural state, trying to give credit to some inanimate object rather than giving credit to God in heaven, who is in control of everything. From verse 9, we see that Daniel was promoted up in the affairs of Babylon. He had the position above the magicians, and as such, would have some influence with the revelation given him from Yahweh. Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel could interpret the dream. problem was that he was so confident in his own ability to conquer the world by his own power, rather than recognizing that the God of in heaven rules in the kingdom of men. It seems like the end of verse 9, that he went to Daniel to have him explain the dream and the interpretation, like he had to in chapter 2, because he says, "Tell me the visions of the dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof." But if we look in the RSV, it says, "Here is the dream with the purpose of obtaining interpretation thereof." And the Authorized Version says, "Tell me the meaning of the vision." It would appear that the last half of the verse is a poor translation from the original. Moving on to verse 10, Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel the dream. He saw a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. This dream concerns Nebuchadnezzar himself and what was about to happen to him, and like Daniel's other prophecies, it had more than one meaning. The tree was representative of Babylon. Trees are commonly used to represent nations. One quick example is found in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 3. "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud of an high stature." We see in verse 11, the tree grew and was strong. This is talking about the growth and strength of Babylon, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, showing the scope and power of its rule, to the end of the earth, showing Babylon's rule extended throughout the whole then known world. "The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit much, and it was meat for all." This whole description is describing the Babylonish Empire in its full glory and promoting the desire of Nebuchadnezzar to rule the world, as we see from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Nebuchadnezzar was headstrong and with a lot of pride. The end of verse 12, "The beast of the field had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the branches, and all flesh was fed of it." This was representing all the conquered nations, and that their existence depended on the goodwill of the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar has the full picture of the tree in the midst with all its glory, and then he sees an angel come down from heaven. Verse 13 says, "A watcher and an holy one." It should be a watcher, even an holy one. A watcher is one who is awake and vigilant. Holy One describes his character. The angel do God's work. Nebuchadnezzar, in effect, was realizing that the affairs on earth are watched over by the angels in heaven. Nothing of God's plan is left to chance. An angel commands the tree to be cut down. This would represent the cutting off of the Babylonian power and influence. Nebuchadnezzar would be reminded that he was warned of them in his dream of the image in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. God gives him a kingdom, power and strength and glory, so that, though he does not realize it, he would be subject to Yahweh. Therefore, when the time comes, he could easily remove him from power. God is in control over all nations. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." The question is, when was the tree cut down? We get a good explanation from Dr. Thomas in the book Exposition to Daniel. I'm just going to quote a short piece here on calling the four-headed leopard faces. He says, "The third symbol representative of the kingdom of Babylon under a new constitution shown to Daniel was a leopard with four heads and four wings. It answers to the brazen part of the image, which bore rule over all the earth, and to the goat with four horns pointing to the four winds in the eighth chapter, but without the little horn, which is represented by the fourth beast. The leopard is Macedonian, representing Alexander the Great's dominion and those of his four principal successors who divided among themselves. The body of the beast represents the power before it was divided, and each one, and each head, one of the subsequent divisions. The wings represented the position of the Macedonian heads relative to the Holy Land. At the death of Alexander, a long period of war ensued, which resulted in B.C. 301 in the establishment of the following kingdoms on the territory of the Kingdom of Men. I won't go through the four heads, except for the third head, which concerning Babylon. It says the third head, the kingdom of the northeast, comprehending the rest of Asia, inclusive of Babylon and its province, and extending beyond the Euphrates to the Indus. India, beyond that river, though allotted to this head, revolted so that the Indus became its boundary. This was the Macedo-Babylonish kingdom of the Seleucids. The lion man, the bear, the leopard, and its third head, or kingdom of the north, all established themselves in the city of Babylon, where Alexander held, as it were, the States General of the world, in which he had resolved to make the throne of his empire. But the decree of heaven was against the city. The purpose of Alexander was frustrated by death, and by B.C. 293 it became an uninhabited desert by the inundation of the Euphrates and the building of Seleucia on the banks of the Tigris about 40 miles above, to which the citizens removed. Thus the tree of Babylon was hewn down and its branches lopped, its leaves shaken off, and its fruit scattered, so that the nations got away from under it and their rulers from its branches. Nevertheless, the stump of its roots remained under the sovereignty of the third head of the leopard, founded by Seleucus, for almost 250 years, when the iron and brass became one dominion in Asia by the annexation of the Macedo-Babylonish territory to the Roman. And the band, being thus formed, it was found at length encircled by it, B.C. 65. End quote. Now going on to the 15th verse of this fourth chapter of Daniel, the vision now brings Nebuchadnezzar into focus and the punishment he was to receive for not recognizing that Yah rules the kingdom of men. His heart would be changed to a beast heart. This was a very humbling wake-up call for Nebuchadnezzar. So from a personal point of view, for Nebuchadnezzar, the tree cut down would represent him being taken from power and sent out into the field to eat grass as an ox for 7 years or 2,520 days. In Daniel's interpretation in verse 26, he says, "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee." In other words, after living as a beast of the field for a while, he would return to his throne as head of Babylon. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar would have no doubt that Yah is the one that really is in control. Before Daniel gave the interpretation to the king, it says he was astonished for 1 hour. Daniel had been in a high position for quite a while in Babylon. He realized the scope of the dream and the overall meaning was going to take place over a long period of time. The tree represented the Babylonian Empire and its strength and glory. Nebuchadnezzar had extended the kingdom to the then known world, and all the nations were subject to him. He was in control of all the people, and this is what caused him to become very arrogant and proud. He had made the city of Babylon very beautiful. From the typical sense, the 7 times to pass over before he was humbled represented a period of 2,520 years. A time, from the Jewish standpoint, is 360 days, or 1 year. So 7 times 360 is 2,520 years. Now Nebuchadnezzar first invaded Jerusalem B.C. 606 to 603. If you add the 2,520 years, it ends up at 1914 to 1917. And this was the period of World War I and resulted in the Turks being driven from Jerusalem, and the way for the Jews to return to Jerusalem was in the works with the signing of the Balfour Declaration. In closing, I'd like to quote from an article that Brother Grocott wrote in Be Transformed, and it's his take on Daniel chapter 4, and I thought it was quite appropriate. He says, Daniel chapter 4 gives the dream of the cut-down tree and the seven-year madness of Nebuchadnezzar that was represented by it. Nebuchadnezzar reigned 43 years, from 605 to 562 B.C. His madness would appear to be sometime after the final destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., as the scriptural records represent him as the active ruler of Babylon during their period of the wars against Judah and the surrounding nations. Also, his boast, "Is not this Babylon which I have built?" would appear to be uttered after a considerable period of building and development of power. Babylon was the head of the image that represented the kingdom of men, so there is a special significance in what was divinely caused to happen to her and her ruler. The vision appears to have a threefold significance. First, to Nebuchadnezzar himself, the seven-year in the field. Second, to Babylon, 70-year rule. Third, to the kingdom of men as a whole, 7 times 360 years. Its immediate and typical fulfillment was in Nebuchadnezzar. Just 1 year later, in the midst of his pride, he was divinely struck with madness, and for 7 years roamed the fields like an animal and ate grass. But the full scope of the vision is obviously greater than this, as further indicated by the binding of the stump of the tree with a band of iron and brass. The constitution of the kingdom of men since the fall of the Babylonian Empire is just as pictured here. The Babylonian stump bound with a band of Roman iron and Grecian brass. All in any way familiar with history are aware that our present-day civilization is principally bound by the customs, principles, and heritage of Greece and Rome in language, government, philosophy, art, architecture, law, science, literature, etc. There are fewer who recognize the basic Babylonian fleshly and religious stump. But students of God's Word know that the modern religious world is fundamentally Babylonian, and that Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is the title the scriptures give to this system. Such documentary books as Hyslop's Two Babylons expose the pagan Babylonian origin of the world's principal religious observances and traditions and festivals as Christmas, Easter, Halloween, etc. God's people can have nothing to do with such Babylonian corruption. And let's 7 times pass over it. 7 times in scriptural symbol amount on the larger scale is 7 times 360 years, or 2,520 years. The significance of this lies in the fact that our day, which we know from world conditions, is the time of the end, lies just this length of time from the period of the Babylonian Empire. 7 times measured from the beginning of the head of gold comes to 1914. 7 times from the end of Babylon, about 1984. This is the 70 years of Babylon carried forward 7 times, or 2,520 years. Runs from 1914 to 1984. At the end of his madness, Nebuchadnezzar, typifying the kingdom of men, cured from its present delusions and brought to the true knowledge and worship of God, declares, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" This is the great value of Daniel for us today. The great truth we must keep before our minds as we watch the futile maneuverings of the sin powers of the earth, as the final crisis approaches, even of proud and terrible Gog himself. God says, "I'll turn thee back, and I'll bring thee forth." Russia is merely fulfilling God's will and preparing the scene for the manifestation of God's glory.